This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 18. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 18. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Again, Lord, we thank you to know, Lord, the truth that you are in our midst, and Lord, you've promised that if we'd call upon you, that you'd answer. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds as we worship you, that we might hear from you, and that you would be honored and glorified. We ask that you bless, and we'll give you the praise, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply Steadfastly Minded. Steadfastly Minded. And it's important to be steadfastly minded in the things of God, in our relationship with the Lord. That's a good place to be. How does that take place? Do you know the answer to that? How does that take place? How are we to be steadfastly minded in the Lord? Well, it might give you a little bit of relief to know that that's a work of God. So it's important for us to ask the Lord to do this work in our hearts and in our minds. And as we consider this account, this historical account of this particular family here and what happened in their life, I would like for you to consider placing yourself in the places of each and every one of these individuals and ask yourself, where were they at in their relationship to the Lord? Because we do encounter all of these situations in life. And it's important for us to ask ourselves, where are we at in our relationship with the Lord? How is God working and moving in our lives? And we're going to see some things that are very difficult. And I would venture to say that everybody has experienced difficulty to one extent or another in their lives, things that were difficult in their lives.
And God has seen us through them, hasn't he? Or we wouldn't be here. God has seen us through these things. But we'll also understand a little bit more about the mind of God and not how everything. Sometimes we see some things and they look to be horrible. They look to be a very unpleasant experience and a great difficulty. And yet we're going to see God's grace in the middle of all of that. So we're going to look at simply four thoughts this morning, and that's a famine in the land, and then God's timing and purpose, a commitment of grace, and then God's blessing and work. And so as we begin, let's look here at verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says here. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, not when there were no kings in Israel, but when judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Remember that word sojourn. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, as we consider this, let's realize this, that there it was a time when there was leadership, spiritual leadership in the land of Israel, but there was a famine in the land. And right away we can begin to think some different thoughts. Oh, maybe they should have stayed right there where they were at, and that may be true. They shouldn't have gone into a heathen land, and that may be true. But let's put ourselves in that particular place. Let's remember that Elimelech was looking out for the welfare of his family. Let's give him credit there. Abraham, the father of our faith, also went to sojourn down in Egypt. He left twice, didn't he, when there was a difficulty in the land. And then Isaac did similar, filed suit as well. And we might say that may be a problem in faith, but I want us to just consider some things here as we consider this account here of what was going on. First of all, let's look at the names of the individuals that we're looking at. Elimelech means my God, a king. That's what his parents named him because things were good in Israel during the time of the judges, during the time of his birth, and they were proclaiming, my God is a king. And no doubt the expression is, my God is the King of Kings. Don't we say that today? My God is the King of Kings, and that's a good proclamation. Naomi means pleasant one. Now, the children move on the scene here, these two sons, and Mahlon means sickness. And Chilion means consumption. These are not good terminologies. These are not good terms to be. How would you like to be named sickness and consumption? That's not a good place to be. But this is what they were experiencing in the lives of their sons at the very least. And so Elimelech moved to sojourn, not to permanently move, but I'm just going to temporarily try to ease this difficulty that's in my life at this time and to be a blessing to my family. I'm going to go move my family away from the people of God. And by the way, does God judge our sin? Are you sure? Does God judge our sin? He does judge our sin. He is also a merciful God, but should we take advantage of God's mercy and forget about his righteousness? God does not want us to do that, so I think we'll learn some things. And I want you to see something that I find quite interesting. I don't know how close we'll get to it, but let's go over to verse 21. And this is Naomi when she comes back into Israel. And she's lost her husband. We'll see that. She's lost her two sons there. And they said, is this not Naomi? And she says, and by the way, that means pleasant one, remember. And she said, verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again, what? Empty. I went out full. Now, this is important. That tells us she had substance, didn't she? Her husband had substance. So they didn't leave when they were out of food. They didn't leave when things were destitute. They left while they could still leave and they were full. They maybe jumped the gun a little bit here. And have we not ever jumped the gun on some situations? We see some things and, oh my goodness, let's take care of it instead of asking God, Lord, what is it that you want me to see? Now, I'm convinced of this. God wants us to see him. Do you believe that? God wants us to see him. Do you mean when things don't go the way I would like them to go, God wants us to know that He holds us in His hands? Are you sure? God wants us to know that He holds us in His hands, and sometimes, believe it or not, it doesn't feel that way. It does not feel that way, but we need to be careful that we don't move by feelings, but that we move how? By what? By faith. By faith. Now, how do we do that? Well, I would encourage you to ask the Lord how to do that every day, because I don't know what's going to happen in your life even the next moment after you get out of church. I don't. The truth is, I don't even know what's going to happen the next minute. But God does. So He would be the one that we ask. And so here's this situation, a circumstance in their life. And so they leave. And they're going into this country. Look at verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. Good pedigree. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left her two sons now. So this is an opportunity here for Naomi, because she was following her husband, for her to say, now her sons are grown now, and she could have returned at this moment, could she have not? Hey, listen, it's time for us maybe to go back. But see, the famine was still in the land. There were still some things that were taking place in Israel that Moab was not experiencing. And now her sons are no doubt adults, and maybe they had some other ideas. And so we find here in verse 4 what happens here. And here's, we find a 10-year relationship. And they took them wives. These are the two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. Is that what God said that they should do? Or did God teach them to marry from within? From within, the right, not to be unequally yoked. Now, what we're going to see here is the mercy of God, but we should never take advantage of the mercy of God. This is not an excuse for us or a reason for us to go ahead and disobey God's commandments and to expect a blessing. God, maybe in our ignorance, will help us and will be merciful, as we're going to see here. But it's not something that we ought to blatantly do. Listen, she experienced some great difficulty. She lost her husband. That's not something that's a pleasant experience. So notice what happens right here. They take two wives, right? And the name of the one is Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. Now that's important just to get an understanding of the span of time that had taken place. And now we're going to move over here as we consider this, verse 5, and we're going to see the death of Naomi's sons. So verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them. And the woman was left and her two sons and her husband. So now they die, and now the women are left now, and her sons and her husband now are dead. So this is not a pleasant experience. This is a difficult time. And now we find God's timing and purpose taking place. Were Naomi and her family ever out of the hands of God? Were they ever out of the hands of God? They were not. Judging by what we read about her in verse 21, she said, "Oh, don't call me Naomi." She says, "Call me Mara, sorrow. I went out full." And God, she said, God, she is seeing this from the hand of God, has brought me back again. How? Empty. She's empty. She's lost it all. But let's look at what God can do and wants to do in every believer's life. Let's look at verse 6 here. And notice, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So you think that was just an accident that she got that news? God wanted to make sure that she knew, and this is God's timing. He was allowing all of this to transpire. By the way, Ruth, as you'd probably know, because of Boaz, was put into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing when you stop and think about that? That is definitely not an excuse for us to say, well, it doesn't matter what we do, God's going to do what He wants to do. Oh no, listen, we ought to honor and glorify the Lord. I believe Naomi was following her husband. as she should have. And then the two sons became adults and probably, you know, passed along the authority to them and trusted them and stayed for whatever the reason is. And God was still at work. You know what that tells me? No matter how big of a mess we might think that we're in, God is not finished with us. And that's a good understanding to have. God will always hold you in his hands. Why? Because of his righteousness, because of his mercy, and because of his grace. We don't always feel that way, but that's the way God is. That's the truth of God. And so she hears about this bread, and now we find here really a testimony of grace. And look what's going on here in the life of Naomi. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place, she's getting ready to go back, where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. That means all of them were planning to go. So when Naomi packed up probably next to nothing, she's leaving, and then two daughters-in-law are coming with her. That's a good testimony, don't you think? Oftentimes, you know, family jokes or marital jokes, most of them are made about the in-laws and the outlaws, right? Usually the daughter and the mother-in-law don't get along and things of that nature. So consider it a blessing when things do go right and go well. And I'm thankful to have never had any issues where there was where you did not like each other. You may have had disagreements, you know, had ideas, different ideas, but never to where there was no getting along. But listen, she loved her daughters-in-law, I believe, like daughters. You're going to see that here in just a moment. And her daughters-in-law, testimony to Naomi, and a walk with the Lord, that they loved her in return. So look what happens here. So she goes out to the place where she was in verse 7, her daughter-in-law's with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And so Naomi, verse 8, said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. Now that's an important statement because they were young enough to be able to go back. Mom and dad were still alive. And they were young enough to go back and be welcomed into their mother's house. And by the way, Naomi knew this. I think she was probably good friends with their family, don't you think? Get the picture. She is the outsider in Moab, and she had cultivated a wonderful relationship with her daughters-in-law and the families, and she knew that they could go back home. And so she says, hey, listen, you need to go return, verse 8, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly, listen, with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. As you have treated my family and me personally, may God bless you. Isn't that a good testimony? And so she is no doubt, this was an endeared relationship all the way around. That's what God can do when he's in the middle of everything. And listen, they experience difficulties. I don't understand, and we've not been told all of the circumstances or the whole situation of what went wrong or what they did that was wrong, but one thing we know for sure, God was in the middle of all of it. Do you know the truth is? God wants to be in the middle of your life and mine. He wants to be in the middle. He wants us to experience this great grace in our lives. And so, no doubt do you think Naomi appreciated her daughters-in-law and the relationship she had with them? She did. And by the way, listen, this also points to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did she just tell them to do? Did she not just tell them to stay in Moab and go home? Didn't she tell them that? And then some might think, oh, listen, but maybe she should tell them both to come to Israel where they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to get saved. Listen, don't you think they already understood? You'll see it here in just a moment. Don't you know that they already understood about the God of Israel already in the 10 years that they were there? Yeah, they did understand that. But may I tell you something? You and I cannot coerce, convince, or compel people to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a work of God alone, and the individual, that's me and that's you, are the only ones that can call out to God and say, Lord, do a work in my heart that I might understand you in a greater way. Listen, you're not going to get anybody to commit. Let me ask you this. Was there something outside of sickness and health reasons that would have kept you, and this is just for you to answer to yourself, from the house of God? Why are you here today? Why are you here? Did you need to be coerced into coming? Or did you come because you've got something with God? Because there's a relationship that you have with the Lord. Could anybody have kept you from coming to the house of God today? No, you had a desire to come. And likewise, listen, the Lord he was not out there when he was on in his earthly ministry. Oh, please follow me. Please, 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 please listen. Let me just tell you what I can do for you. Is that what the Lord did? No, in fact, hold your place here. It'd be good for us to take a look at this. Hold your place here and go over to the book of Matthew chapter 8 just for a moment. It'd be good to take a look at here. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 19. Matthew 8, verse 19 says this, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master," this is Jesus, "I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest." Oh my goodness, a scribe. What a testimony he's going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. A scribe, what an influence he's going to have on those who have rejected the Lord. What a light he's going to be. Oh, yes, please, Mr. Scribe. Oh, we need you to follow us. Is that what the Lord said? "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes to live in." Right? "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Well, I don't think that was very encouraging to you. Did you hear that? If you follow me, I want you to know what you're in for. If you are committed to follow me, just know this. I've got nowhere to lay down. Things are not going to be pleasant. Things are not going to be comfortable. We like our creature comforts, don't we? Jesus wanted them to know up front, you know, it would be good. Listen, I want you to understand people are going to come just like this man. And we would say, oh, if they would sell out. Oh, please come back to our church. That's not the way God builds his church. God builds his church the same way why you're here today. It's the way it works. See, we think it's up to us. Now, not that we don't encourage. I want you to see we do it the way the Lord does it. And we also do it the same way Naomi did it. So now you understand here. And by the way, just in case you thought this was just a mere fluke here, look at verse 21. "And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Oh, okay, I'll wait. No, Jesus says unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Oh my goodness. What? Well, if you understand, He was implying that he would be ready to come when his father died and he buried him. It wasn't that his dad was laying there dead. But he was saying, when I have a convenient season, when my father dies, then I'll come follow you. He told, now is the time to follow. Today, right now, is a time to follow. And that is a work that only the Lord can do. Do you remember the rich man that came to him? Lord, I'll follow you. You know, and he told him, sell everything and follow me. And he went away and he was sad because he had a lot of riches. He had those things that he loved more than he did following the Lord. And the Lord knew that. Let's go back over to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. And let's look at what's going on here. So she says to them, "The Lord, verse 9, grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." You know, that you might go back and get married. Go back to your home. Then notice this, she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. I believe that's all of them. I think all of them loved each other, don't you? And they wept. They cherished that relationship. And they said unto her, listen, verse 10, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. This is both of them. This is Orpah and Ruth. We're going to come with you. Then she, look, listen. Oh, great. I love you, God. Let's go. Right? I'll say no more about it. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. But that's not what she does. Naomi says, listen to this, verse 11. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. So that's how she saw them. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? She says, no more kids. And listen, that they may be your husbands, you have no hope with me. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. I mean, I'm not even planning on getting married. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons tonight, which is an impossibility, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. I want you to see how Naomi is seeing this. Naomi is seeing that God, the hand of God, has gone out against her. There's no doubt some things that she feels that she has done that were wrong, right? Leaving Israel may have been one with Elimelech. Staying there, letting her children get married and disobey the commandments that God said that shouldn't be in the book of Leviticus and that she understood. But I want you to see how she is talking to her daughters-in-law. And she is so, listen, this is not anything strange. She included the Lord in her whole life. And so she says, I want you to see, listen, this is exactly what I want you to understand, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. There's no hope. And this was her common conversation with her daughters-in-law. And she just calls them daughters. And then I want you to see something here. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Do you see the difference there? Both of them were exposed to the same love, to the same care, but there was a work in Ruth that was not in Orpah. There are people, listen, and you may not agree with this, I believe it's biblical. I'm kind to visitors. I am kind, but I'm not going to compel them to come. I'm not. It's not going to work. It's got to be God. Listen, when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to go to church. I was seeking church, and I couldn't tell you why. What was that? It was the Holy Spirit. It's not a work of man. Listen, church is a work of God. And sometimes we think, well, it's up to us. And I'm not saying this is wrong, okay? Let's see. What can we do to bring people in? How about pray to the Lord of the harvest? That's what God's asked us to do. No, let's come up with some ingenious idea. And if that were to work, man, we're good, aren't we? That was a good idea, sister or brother, that you came up with. Look what you did. I'm not opposed to doing things. I'm not. But that's not going to build the church. Why? Because Jesus said, who would build it? He said, I'll build my church. He'll use us to do it. And by the way, if you want a perfect example of that, here it is right here. So she lost half, right? One out of two came. But she. Let me ask you this. Was she genuine when she was telling her daughters-in-law to stay? Yeah, she was genuine. But there was something that God was doing that only he can do. And let's look at what's going on here. And we find a commitment of grace here taking place. Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law. Listen, she's not even stopping. She's saying, go back. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Go after her. And did you see that? She called them her daughters. But she's telling her to go back after her sister-in-law. She loves them. I'm telling you, she loves them. But she says, you know why? Listen, because this is one thing that she knew. She had nothing for her in herself. What she did not consider at this point is that God had something for her. But she, see, what can we give people? What can we do for people? Well, if we're not giving them Jesus, they're not getting what they need. And she saw the Lord. She, listen, God was working in Ruth's life. And by the way, also in Naomi. And this is important. So she said, go after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16, and Ruth said, listen to this. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. You know what she's saying? Don't say it again. In all love, listen. And I believe it was with the Spirit of God in love. She says, I want you to know I've made up my mind. I want you to know, don't say it anymore. I'm going to do this. So, entreat me not, verse 16, to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Listen to this, for whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, she's got nothing. And she knows it. Do you think she's going to look for something spectacular that she's going to? She's going to nothing. And she was yet committed because God was doing a work. Some people won't go unless you tell them what the lodging's going to be like. She didn't care about the lodging. Listen, where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. I don't care what it looks like. Thy people, she doesn't, all she knows, which is a good testimony to Naomi, all she knows is, Naomi, thy people are going to be my people. Did you hear that? Listen, she is willing to give up her people at Moab. She is giving up the opportunity to go back in with mom and dad. She is loving Naomi, and Naomi's God more than she loves her mom and dad. Can you and I do that for somebody else? Here's the news. We cannot even do that for ourselves unless God shows us something that says, you, God, first in my life, before all things. You, God, before all that I love, you're number one in my life. And then and listen, if you want to know what believers need today is another glimpse of God's glory. To see that, for God to do that in our hearts and minds, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. So she says, listen to this, verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, make a place right next to you. Do you see this commitment? She is willing, you know what, listen, this is not just a 5-year commitment, a 10-year commitment. She says, I'm going to grow old wherever you are. I'm going to die where you die. Was she worried about a husband? She didn't even know that was on the horizon. She just said, all I know is that your God and your people are mine. That's what I want. And again, that's only work that God can do. That's why we are here today. And if not, I pray that you seek that out in the Lord, that he would create that in your heart, because it's not, she wasn't following. Listen, I cannot tell you, when I was teaching high school and working with junior church and just different people, just teenagers and stuff, and you talk to people about salvation and you hear this, well, I just went because my friend went. That's not going to cut it if it's not God. You can't just go because your friend goes. Or I just go to church because I enjoy those people over there. You don't have God then, and you're wasting your time. Or because I would like to be part of that group. All of those exclude God and his work. And as much as I enjoy everybody that comes to Northwood Baptist Church and it's a part of it, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you're missing God. And I can't do that for you. It's not just a commitment, it's a relationship. We hear that all the time, but do we really understand? It's this kind of a relationship with the Lord. And so she says this, where thou diest, verse 17, will I die. And notice this, and there will I be buried. Listen, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Mike, is that commitment or what? That's commitment. Where did that come from? God did that for her. Naomi was the vehicle that God used, or the tool, or the vessel, to reveal the Lord to those two daughters. I think both got the same love, don't you? But only Ruth came. But that's God's work, and I don't understand it, and we never will on this side of eternity. I do know that God's not willing that any should perish. But why is it that we understand the truth and others reject him? I don't know. But I know that God's not willing that any should perish. Praise the Lord for whatever reason it is that I can see, and I was blind, and he opened up my spiritual eyesight to see my need of salvation. Because there are others that we love that we want to see in heaven, and yet they're still rejecting, and I don't understand it. But I am thankful that God opened up my eyes, as we should all be, that our eyes have been opened up. And then verse 18, when she, this is Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That was the end of the conversation. She knew what Ruth knew, and that there was no turning back for her. She was committed. That's a good commitment to the Lord. But I want to remind us, that's not anything that Ruth did. That was something that God did for her, in her, and through her. And then we see God's blessing and work here in verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, listen, that all the city moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? I don't know what she looked like. I mean, there's at least 10 or more years that have gone past. And is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath lifted, hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And there is some affliction, but was God ready to do a work that she had not just seen yet, just yet? I mean, the Lord is getting ready to engraft her into the lineage of lineages, if you will, into the lineage of the Messiah. She did not know that. She was getting ready, and listen, Ruth didn't know it either. That's how we ought to follow the Lord. We don't need anything to follow you, God. You dying on the cross was all I need. Your sacrifice for me was all that you needed to do for me. Imagine that. That's all I need, Lord. Your death on the cross for me. That's all the love I need to see. Does God love us? Does he have to do anything for us? Sometimes we think so. Verse 22, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi didn't have anything, and Ruth didn't expect anything. She asked her mother-in-law if she could go out and glean. I'm just kind of telling you a little bit of what lies ahead. And she did not expect, because I'm of your family, she did not demand anything from anybody. She just trusted the Lord. That's a good place to be, because that's where God works. When he brings us to the end of ourselves. And the truth is, I have the same human nature. We love ourselves. And the only way that we can see God is to ask Him to do a work so that we don't love ourselves to where we can't see Him. God doesn't want us to hate ourselves, obviously, but He surely doesn't want us to love ourselves more than we love Him, because then we're going to just be fair weather Christians. As long as the sun is shining, we'll come out. Oh boy, but if there be any inclement weather or any difficulties in my life, the first thing to leave is God. That's just the truth. That's not the Ruth kind of love. Would you say Ruth was willing to fare the bad weather? In fact, that's all she saw. She didn't see anything good. But Naomi's God. Here's the question for you and I. What do we see today? Do we see a Savior who paid the price with His own blood for you and I? Or are we seeing a lot of other things to where we can't see our Savior? Are we allowing our life to get cluttered? It happens, doesn't it? Be convinced of this. Even in our imperfections and our failures, God's grace still holds us. And if we'll just say, oh God, that I might see Christ, that I might see You in my life, just for the asking, what God will do. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the word that You give to us. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to see Your love for us and how You want to work in and through us. And Lord, I pray that You would open up our hearts and minds, that we would see how much we need You, and that we would not be afraid of what people might think, say, or see, but that we would seek You and call upon You and ask You, Lord, that we might be clear-sighted to see You and Your love for us and not be concerned about what other people may think or say, but that we may love You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And that's something that You have to do for us. May we ask You for that. Whatever the need might be, Lord, may we realize it's Your invitation and our opportunity. Bless and we'll praise You, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.